We have a great time studying the Word of God. How many knows we're still in a warfare? How many realize that? I realize that the battle is still raging. We'll be covering these things on Wednesday and today and Sunday. And today I'm going to deal with an area that is crucial in spiritual warfare. It's right between your ears. How many here have ever had a battle in your thought or your thought life? Let me see your hand. How many ever had a battle where your emotions got drawn into that and you just, man, felt like you were way out there? Has anyone ever just grabbed a hold of that, even spoke to yourself, say, man, what are you doing? Got to shape up here. Get out of this. I realize that in Christianity, when you get your life right, your spirit is made right, but this mind needs to be renewed. If you think about all the words that you've already heard, how many films you saw or videos or whatever, there's endless amount that you've already been bombarded with. The gates in your life are your eyes and your ears. It has fed you. Those areas there are there, and there are many times a thought may arise. How many of you ever had something that you've done in the past, maybe a struggle or a failure, kind of come back up and you kind of felt bad about it or like, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Let me see your hand. Now, I want you to all be honest with you. I asked the first service. How many in here, you've ever been in service, you're worshiping the Lord, maybe you close your eyes, maybe you lift your hands, and all of a sudden you're thinking about something totally different, but you're still singing the words? Okay? How many here have ever had, like, you're worshiping the Lord, and this thought comes across your mind like, ooh, I don't even need to think about that while you're in church? See, I can't stop those thoughts from coming in, but there is a way to do battle to keep them and move them out. When it comes to the Word of God, God wants our thought life to be what His is. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Could you imagine having the mind of Christ in situations? Could you imagine how that could help you on your job or your school or really your day-to-day functions? I shared with the first service, I've been doing some plumbing in my house and I'm not a plumber. Say amen. But I have to get it done, so I had to do a few things and it's like, Lord, I'm laying in bed. I say, Lord, how am I going to do this? I'm not that way. And I prayed, Lord, just give me skill and ability to do that. Well, I had to get some plumbing from downstairs to upstairs. And in the midnight hour, the Lord gave me an idea on what to do to get a pipe up my house. How many of the Lord can do that? Can He do that? And then I got all this wrapped up and I was this much short of finishing the whole thing. The water's turned off, and if you've ever opened up pipes when they're in there, it takes forever to drain all that out, and if there's water in there, it's never going to seal. So I'm doing all that. I'm like, oh, I don't have any left. Oh, I got to go buy some more of this. Oh, I don't want to buy a lot. Oh. And I'm like, Lord, please help me finish this job. And I begin to look around the place. I begin to look in this box. I begin to look in this box and this box. And I go, I grabbed a hold of the pipe and I held it up where it needs to go. And I didn't even have to cut it after cutting 50 other pieces. I cleaned the ends. I soldered it up. I turned it on. And like many of you, Lord, I pray there'll be no leaks. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're a plumber in here, bless you. You probably don't have to do that, but I had to do that. Amen? And I turned it on. I go, my wife's down. I go, okay, open that valve up. I'll be right here. If I say turn it off, turn it off. Now, I had her on the phone so she could hear, but there's a delay, even in your own house. So I said, okay, open it up. Then I could hear it echo. Open it up, open it up, open it up. So I go, open the valve up. She's slowly. I could hear the water trickling. I'm like, the pipes are going, and I'm like, oh, okay, hold it right there. Don't open all the way yet. I thought maybe she didn't blow it off. I go, okay, open all that way. Oh, okay, hot water's on. Whew, yes, thank you, Jesus. Okay, take that cold water valve. Now begin to open that up little by little. Oh, no leaks. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, if you're not a plumber, that means something, true? Because you know if it starts leaking, then it's a whole mess. The nightmare starts. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's no leaks in the plumbing. God can give you skill and ability even when you don't have that naturally. Can God do it? When it comes to those areas, I know that the greatest battle I have sometimes is in my thought life. I said it's in my thought life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Tell me when you got it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down arguments or vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes our lives. But it also gives us the power that we can start taking these thoughts captive. That truly, I know for a fact that the enemy wants to bombard us and keep us active in this area. And I'll share this with you. One of the things the enemy wants in these days is imagination. He wants to take people's imagination and continue to make them evil. Because you know what? You can imagine great things. How many can imagine how the stars? Isn't that wonderful? Here's how smart God is. He calls them all by name. And I really wonder what he calls our arrangement of stars. Ours are named Mercury, Venus, Earth. Come on, Mars. Oh, come on. You guys got to go back to school here. If you look at all our names, they're all named after Greek things, Greek-type gods. I wonder if he calls them different names than what we call them. He says, I call them all by name. That's the wisdom that I have just to scratch the surface. When the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in me, he's brilliant in all his ways. Could you imagine having the mind of Christ working with the Word of God in your heart? See, that's what he wants in us, that the Word works with us with the mind of Christ working it out. Then, you know what? I need my mind renewed. The greatest thing somebody ever said to me was once, says, Pastor, you're brainwashed. I almost got offended, but I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. Lord, scrub my brain. Lord, do a double scrub on it. Do a triple scrub, because my mind needed to be renewed. Before you're saved, you think about everything and you don't even bother to even cancel any thoughts out. But when you get the Holy Spirit in you, you start to recognize that, hey, I don't need to think on these things. When it comes to the world, listen, the enemy's trying to bombard people with so much things to watch and listen to that they start to live their life accordingly. That the enemy's after people's imaginations to keep them evil. And I want you to know in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, that when the Lord judged the planet, is because every thought was continually evil all the time. How close are we to that right now, you guys? How close are we to that just fulfilling, just like it was in the days when Noah was here? I can see that being a reality. If you watch the news, sometimes it's so depressing. Then I always chuckle that there's two minutes of something positive and it ends the program. Like all this stuff and then you got this little bit here. When it comes to men on TV, men are no longer men on TV. They're strange. What is that? No longer is there a society that's really upholding righteousness, but the church. And members in particular. But when it comes to victory, we have to get victory in our thought life. I said we have to get victory in our thought life. When our thoughts begin to go, so do we. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 12, if you're taking notes, it says, the Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. When I look today, how many times does the enemy try to keep people from serving the Lord? How many times has the enemy said, no, you don't need him. Just do your own thing. How many times has the Holy Spirit brought life to people and they said, I'm too busy. Now, let me ask you, how many here ever at a time you set aside to pray and then you fell asleep? Be honest. I'm going to have a great devotion. Oh, Lord. I'm going to have great time in the Word. Ah. Or the phone rings, or this happens, or this happens, or you got to take care of this, or the kids, or. It seems like everything attacks that time. But when it comes to the Word of God, it has power. It has authority. Do you know the Word of God's sharper than even a scalpel, a surgeon's scalpel? The word can discern between evil thoughts of good and evil. That's how powerful the word is. When Jeff shared, hey, we need to get the word in us, it's so true. All of us need a time where we just spend time in the Word of God. Well, if you don't understand it, you got the great teacher with you. You can ask, Holy Spirit, teach me the Word of God. Help me to understand. And you know God will do that. Amen. Especially in America, we have no excuse not to spend time in the Word of God. You can put it on your phone. You can listen to it here. True? You can put it in your car. You can put it in home. If there's any nation that will be judged according to that, will be ours. That we've had every opportunity to grow in grace. And you know what? I'm glad God jammed up what we needed in one book. Could you imagine if it was in 90 books? Okay, I'm going to read from book 4. Oh, I brought book 3 today. Pastor, you got to let me know. Oh, we're going to read from book 90. Oh, I only got 78 today. How many of us, he's got it right here. Yeah. It isn't even listed as the greatest selling book anymore, because it always is. But just because it sells doesn't mean people are reading it. As believers, we need to read it. There's examples in here, and I'm so thankful that, hey, there's some people that failed in here. I'm glad not everyone's perfect in here, because I'd have never measured up. But their record is true, and we can learn from that. Well, aren't we read and known of all men? Sooner or later, somebody will find out you're a Christian. Or at least I hope so. What you do matters. You become a living epistle. But can you imagine as a Christian, if we're so bound up in our thought life that we don't have any victory, it's kind of hard to live that out. Now, how many here have ever had an emotional time where your emotions kind of pulled you down and your thoughts went with it? Let me see your hand. You ever notice that when it goes down there, it starts to be a battle? You ever notice the enemy doesn't seem to let up? And I notice when attack comes, he'll try to bring divisive areas. I preached a couple weeks ago on Wednesday from Ezra, the enemy attacks three ways. One, in an unholy union. He'll try to get you unioned up with something that isn't God. Secondly, he'll try to weaken your hands. And third, he'll bring an accusation. These are the tactics of the enemy that are still today, that are still working today. We have to look and get victory in those areas. When it comes to unbelief, evil and unbelief work together. In Hebrews 3, verse 7, says this, the Spirit says, don't harden your heart. It says, your fathers tested me, and I was angry with that generation. But I read this here in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. When we set out in this area, I believe this with all my heart. I have pastor friends, buddies, people that I minister with just like right next to me that aren't even serving the Lord today. And at one time, they were the most rocking serving God you could imagine. But slowly, they began to dissipate. A situation happened. I'm not spending time in the Word. I'm not spending time in prayer. As a pastor, I don't have a gold key to heaven. I still got to pray like all of you. I still got to study like all of you. It isn't just, poof, pastor gets it, that's it. No, you got to keep there. Notice that unbelief will take you out of what God has. And it never stays neutral. It becomes an evil heart of unbelief. And then you depart from the living God. God never moved, we did. And then the whole time he's trying to draw back. Come on back, come on back. If you're not serving the Lord with all your heart, now's the time. Don't wait and say, hey, I got time. I'm going to do it when I'm older. You don't have that guarantee. Today's the day of salvation. I don't know when he's going to return, but all the signs are there. He's ready to do something great. That we need to serve him. Amen? Well, hear this. I hear this a lot as a pastor. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know? Your spirit has been made right when you're born again, but the rest of you needs to change. I got to renew this mind. Are you with me? Yes, the Lord knows your heart. If you knew your heart, you would repent. You would get it right. It's amazing how we shove it over on the Lord, and the Lord says, yeah, I know your heart. It's time to change. Oh, that's good preaching. Too many times we become carnal. And do you know what? Being carnally minded is something that's opposite from the Lord. According to Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind is an enemy of God. It's not subject to the laws of God. Neither can it be. I agree with Jeff. Don't add to the Word of God. If the Word of God says this about it, then settle that. I try to look for biblical examples when I'm going through something. Then I try to look on how that person got victory, and I apply the same word. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is He? Then what He did before, can He do again? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God answers prayer? Then every opportunity when there's a time to pray, I'm going to pray, whether it's for me or somebody else. I need people to believe. If somebody's here trusting the Lord, stand with them and go, I trust what the Lord's going to touch that area. Two are better than one. They have a better return for their work. But what if we come in carnal? What if we come in just like, don't bother me. The greeters are too nice. The love's too great. If one more person says, how you doing? I'm just going to blow up. I mean, we may not say that, but we can have the same attitude. Oh, nobody in here. Everyone's like, not me. How many ever came into church grumpy before? Oh, look at all them hands. Look at all the grumpies out here. Amen? How many came in here joyful? See, we have those areas. We still have emotions. God wants us to. But if they're out of check, listen to me, we can get out there. And what I follow in my mind, believe me, I can be strange without Jesus. Now, I don't really care for spiritual bottle rockets. What that means is you're like, woo, poof, you're gone. I've been saved long enough to see that. No, God wants it. It's a marathon. Each run at a different pace, but you keep your feet moving. You know what? You'll cross the line. Now, we have some runners in here. You know what? The race isn't done till the last person finishes. I know sometimes they're timed because the event's got to fold. They got to go in there. But if you keep running, the finish line's empty, you cross it, you still win. Amen. Say amen. The truth is that we have to finish that. You started this race. Are you going to finish it? Here's what I hope, that you have enough strength that if you see a brother that's fallen down, you have enough strength to pick him up, maybe walk with him for a time, get him strengthened again and keep running. But don't stop. If you go back to the world, it's just as lost as when you left it. It's just new ways to invent old evil. When it comes today, the enemy's trying to captivate a generation. And I know this for a fact, that virtual reality is taking it to another level. When you're totally captive inside, and now your emotions are in something, you're going to another level. Now, I'm not the devil. I'll just let you know. Okay? But if I was the enemy, I would try to contact you. I would try to bombard your thoughts. I'd try to bombard your ears, your eyes, and keep you from the truth. I'd try to make every way that you didn't spend time with the Lord or His Word. Can you see how He works today? Why is it when you get saved, instantly you're like, man, I'm going to spend time in the Word the rest of my life. My prayer life's going to be awesome forever. It's something you have to work on. And it's something you have to renew your mind. I don't know how many words I've spoken already in my life. Have you? How many libraries have came out of your mouth? How many things have you saw? How many things have you already heard? That's why when you get forgiven, when God says, I forgive you of all your sins, He sees it all and He wipes it away. I had that realization when I got saved that every thought and every word I ever spoken was forgiven. I was so happy. Because if I had to confess all my sin would be I forgot one and still end up in hell. Man, I forgot that one. That's why when I say, Lord, forgive me of all, He knows all. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to change. But I know for a fact, if I'm a carnal Christian, I'm not effective at all. I'm not. I'm going through the motions. And then sometimes I'll make up what the Word of God says. I'll give you this on every funeral. Unless the person is born again, they're not in a better place if they die. Well, they're in a much better place. Who says? Do you know if you leave this earth without Christ, you're in a worse place with worse pain that you ever experienced in your whole life? Sometimes that comfort there, yeah, they are. They're without pain. Do they know Jesus Christ? Are they born again? If they are, I totally agree with you. But if not, that's not the truth. Sometimes there's a comfort there, and you try to be comfortable and try to comfort people, but you still got to speak the truth in love. Do you know funerals are for those who are alive and remain? You show respect to those who passed on, but that person is no longer there. Say amen. But I've seen a lot of people turn their hearts during a funeral. If I do your funeral and you give me liberty, I preach the gospel at your funeral. Amen. Miss Ruth was like that. She passed on. She said, Pastor Tom, I want you to preach the gospel, give a salvation message at my funeral. That's in my, I want you to do it. Okay, Miss Ruth, I will honor that. Amen. Well, I want all of you to live to be 190, so I won't do your funerals for a while. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 7, it says this, if we live according to the flesh, you set your minds on things of the flesh. But if you live according to the Spirit, you set your minds on things of the Spirit. Well, you're here this morning. That's a great step. But my sermon isn't going to last all week. Yes, you can take notes. Yes, you can go over it. But you got to feed yourself on Monday. How many of you are going to have some food tomorrow? Physical food. Okay, what are the rest of you guys going to do? Fast? You guys are awesome. How about on Tuesday? How many of you are going to have some physical food on Tuesday? This is participation today. Okay? All right, if you're still fasting, maybe Wednesday you'll eat. But sooner or later, you're going to have some physical food. Well, I wish to say that my sermons would feed you all week. Well, it's just not that good. I'll be honest. You got to spend time yourself in the Word. You can go over these scriptures, sew it up again, but you have to feed yourself. What if the church as a whole said, we're going to live all out for God? Let's just look at Michigan. I've never seen a revival in Michigan. I've lived here. I've seen God move in pockets, but never a revival. Revival is chaos. Revival shuts things down. Revival is there's no room for you to sit. Everyone else is going to take your seat. But won't that test some patience? If I can't sit in my seat, I'm not coming. Now, I'm glad you're maturing here, but I've seen that. I've been in a church, a lady threw her tithe check in my face. This is my seat. The pastor doesn't want anyone to sit in this section. Please sit over there. This is my seat. I always sit here. If I can't sit here, I'm not coming to this church. Took her check, threw it right in my face. Hit me in the lip. I mean, I said, praise the Lord. I mean, even the pastor sometimes got to go, what's up with that? Wow. Oh, no, you're all perfect in here. I just said, ma'am. I go, first of all, the pastor doesn't want anyone in this section. All you have to do is move 4 feet that way, and everything is cool. Nope, stomped out, yelled, cussed, said goodbye. Now, what if that was you? And now you got to go and speak that particular day. Knowing that what you just experienced, how many of sometimes you got to bring every thought captive? Yes or no? I didn't berate this lady. I prayed for her. Lord, touch her. Whatever she's going through, Lord, work that out. Because otherwise you're going to go around the mountain one more time. Are you hearing me? Lord, touch her. Bless her, Lord. Well, I saw her a couple weeks later. She came back. You know what she said? Pastor, I'm sorry I threw my check in your face. That's quite all right. I don't look at you as any different. Amen. Amen? Let's go on. We all can have moments, true? How many ever had a moment of weakness in here? Maybe you said something you shouldn't, done something you shouldn't. Oh, get that hand up. There are times we have this flesh, but I want to have it that my mind is solid in Christ, because temptation is like this. It's like you know you shouldn't, but you shouldn't, you know you shouldn't, you shouldn't, then you know you shouldn't, and you begin to look at it. And then you just, okay, honey. No, I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't. I shouldn't. I shouldn't. No, I shouldn't. Nope, nope, nope. Got victory. Nope, nope, nope. Nope, 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 nope. Nope, got victory. Got, oh, Lord, joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Yes or no? That's just what sin is like. It entices our flesh, and in our flesh we desire that. But Lord, let me have the mind of Christ in this. Amen? And good people around me to say, no, you're not doing that. When it comes to our imagination, when our imagination becomes evil, our thoughts are fully engaged. When I spoke to young people, trash in, trash out. It's just that thing. And I've seen this. I've seen people being affected by what they see and what they hear. Well, nope, not me. Nope, not me. Sooner or later, I've seen people pick up lingo from other people, begin to talk like they do. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But what are my ears and my eyes hearing? What are they hearing? What are the gates receiving? Today I need to spend time in that word. Now, what if I could start to scrub some of that libraries that are in my heart and mind? What if I could say that this was the wall and everyone was books? And I could start now renewing my mind and having these... Nope, not thinking that way anymore. Nope, not thinking that way anymore. How many think you can start to get a clear heart and mind? I see it in children. Not that they're not honest, because we all have sin natures. I've seen the most purest, honest kids. Did you take that cookie? Nope. Well, what's the crumbs on your lips then? Nope, didn't do it. They had that nature in them. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. But there's something about a child when they're not defiled, they're honest. True? They're pure. The Bible says we need to have that childlike faith. That needs to be us. Not that we act like kids, but we have that childlike faith. I shared with the first service, I need to be more naive concerning evil and know more about righteousness. I don't need to know any more about evil. Lord, I want to know what is true and holy, what is pure. When it looks to my thought life, you know what? I need to commit my ways to the Lord. Listen to this. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Lord, then I'm going to seek first what? How many ever heard this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Has anybody ever heard that? Jesus said it himself. This fulfills all the law commands. Be honest. Do you love him more than anyone else? When you look at it, it's not like just like a suggestion. It's not the 10 suggestions. Then, Lord, I want to do that. Many times we can speak it, but we're not even fully engaged in it. Then, Lord, today, make this your day. Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and I'm going to love people as myself because you'll give me self-worth. How many of you will fulfill that? That's minimum Christianity, is to love God with all you got. Then this needs to change, because there are times that you can spend all day and not even pray. Yes or no? There's been times that you haven't spent any time in the Word. Yes or no? Come on, be honest. It's a daily thing. It must become a habit in our life. In Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living, sharp, and powerful. I love this. What else is more powerful? Well, let me give you a little thing here about word of wisdom, word of knowledge. When it comes to a service like this, there are hours spent in prayer just for the service alone. I'm going to give you a little insight from your pastor's background. It's not self-glory, but this is just reality. Every single service. I spend a couple hours just praying on service alone. Alone. Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do in the service? Because if you think about it, we have a time to come in, we have a time to assemble, we have a time to depart. So God will meet us in the midst here. Well, there are so many different needs that come together that God's like, I'm going to do this. This morning it was this. Those that need a breakthrough, I want them to come forward and I will do work. So those things are just not like a nice thing. Hey, if you like to have a little prayer, praise the Lord, we got some for you. No, it's a divine word that God said, I will do this, but my people have to do this. Notice that he's there, ready, but you have to take the step. See, those words need to be in our hearts. But what if we come in carnally minded? Next week I'll just go to prayer. You may miss out on what God wants to do. Does this make sense? So we come in spiritually prepared. We come in ready to go. I'm not sharing this for self-glory. This is reality. When it comes to those errors, we have to bring every thought. Then that means every thought to the obedience. I don't want any other thought, Lord. I don't want to think about this, worry about this, worry about this, worry about this. I want to spend time with you. When Miss Allie's up here worshiping, it's time to worship. I don't need to think about, you know what, I got to bake this afterwards. I got to go here. Got to go here. How many knows you can do that during service? No, forget all that. It's time to love on the Lord our God. Those things can come later. It's time to do this. That becomes a disciplined mind. Most people have a struggle in that area. All of us have areas that we need to have God work. Amen? I shared with the first service this. Thoughts turn into actions. Actions turn into habits. Habits turn into lifestyles. And lifestyles turn into destinies. I'll read it again. Thoughts turn into actions. Actions into habits. Habits into lifestyles. And lifestyles into destinies. God wants us to have authority even in our thought life. You can decide what you're going to think. I don't have to entertain everything that passes through my brain. Amen? Now, what if I had a steady diet of what is pure and holy and just and true? I can think on those things, Philippians 4. Now, is there anyone have any good memories in your life? Something that was fun and funny? Yes or no? Maybe a special date that you did something. See, those are good reports. Well, what about this? What is just and holy? I'm going to get into that next week. What is pure? God can break that down, that we can think on these things. It isn't just having an empty head. It's thinking on what is right. Start to recognize when my emotions are kicking in. And like, man, I'm acting like I shouldn't. Sometimes you got to grab, no, God's created me. No. Are you victorious in Christ Jesus? Yes or no? Now, there's a confession sometimes I've seen people abuse. But the confession is also important. I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, your word says, whatever I put my hands to do, that will succeed, says the Lord. That's a good confession. Amen? I am that. I've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's awesome. He's preparing a place for me and he's coming again. I can think on those things. I want to think about where I'm going. Many times the enemy will try to bombard you that you're not even thinking about eternity. Think about it for a moment. The place you're going to spend forever sometimes gets no thought. And yet this place that we're here is so temporal that we think on it all the time. It's kind of quiet today. I'm going to think on what's above. Well, if you live to be 150 here, compare that to forever. There's no comparison. The Bible says it's like your life is like a vapor. Just a breeze and it's gone. So what I have in me, that's what I'm taking with me. No possessions I'll have, but that which is in the Holy Ghost. Well, I need to renew this mind to work with that spirit. Then Lord, teach me in your word. Can you imagine Jesus coming up to a need and going, boy, this is going to be a tough one. Man. Don't know if I can do it. I'll try. Lord, Father, give me just enough to make the need. Did Jesus ever freak out? I shared with the first service, this man brought his son and he was possessed of a devil. And he did strange things like jumping fires and whatnot. You know what Jesus did? He held a conversation with the parents. And he still saw the need. How long has he been this way? Notice he didn't freak out. Jesus didn't all of a sudden have to engage. Oh no, I've got to deal with this right this second. No, he's going to deal with it. How many of you can have that mind? Well, what if you can have that mind when you're going through a struggle? Man, this is real, but the Lord's with me. Amen. I'm not going to get all freaked out in my mind here. The Lord's going to help me. I'm going to calm down. Lord, I'm going to pray. Wouldn't that be great for all of us? Because we get worked up and then we don't make it. And by worrying, you cannot change one thing. The Bible made it clear, you can't even change the color of your hair. Sure, you can go gray quicker, or lose a lot more. But you can't even change by worrying. He says, the world worries. You have my mind in you. Jesus could deal with the situation and not freak out. I want it too. But it's not just going to happen presto. I have to renew my mind. It has to be new. It has to be trained in the word. I have to use that spirit of God and stand upon those promises. Is this good this morning? you have authority over your thoughts, then I'm going to exercise it. Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm a failure. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me around. Watch, nobody's going to call me. Nobody's going to carry me. I'm going to come to church. Nobody's going to shake my hand. No one's going to do anything. You're setting yourself up for a fall. How about do this instead? It doesn't matter if nobody shakes my hand, because I'm going to shake your hand. And I'm going to shake your hand. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless you. Amen? I do this when I go to another church, when I'm a visitor. I make it a point, who's ever in my row, I get up and I greet every single one of them. I don't make a nuisance of it, but I just say, hey, how are you? Glad you're here. Man, how are you doing? Many times people think I go there. Are you an usher? Greet? No, no, I'm just here visiting. I want to bless this row. Maybe they can't find the scripture. Let me find that Bible. Here, it's right here. Just use this one. Can you do that? Well, that's a different mindset. It's not all about you. A carnal mind is selfish, self-centered. The mind of Christ is truly giving. You're more concerned outwardly than so much inwardly. Yes, God meets your needs. Yes, things are real in your own life. But you have to think about things that are right. I'll close with this. Are you enjoying this morning? We're just scratching the surface here. I got a whole lot more. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8, if you're taking notes. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, if there be any good report, if there's virtue or anything praiseworthy, think or meditate on these things. So my mind isn't just engaged or engaged, whatever it is, but it's engaged in Christ. I'm thinking on these things. Well, what works for me is I take a scripture and I sow it in my mind. For you old hippies, it used to be called a scripture fix. You didn't need to hit on that anymore. You need to hit on the Word. That's for you old hippies in here. I need the Word. Amen? Put it before your eyes. That's what Jesus did. Do you know what? That's what he did? He showed how to get victory in a fleshly body. He took on flesh. He says, I've overcome, so shall you. And think about the enemy, how frustrated the enemy is when you say, it's written. Man, that's got to just frustrate him to no end. And he's got to depart because he can find nothing in you but Christ. We all can do it. We have to decide. Will your habits become a lifestyle? Yes, it will. Then start now. I challenge you. Break open the Word. Sow a couple scriptures in your heart. Close the book. See if you can speak it back. Understand the meaning of it. Then go on from there. Well, I got to read the whole book. You'll get through the book. Just start a piece at a time. Then you'll find, man, I got to spend time. Soon it'll become a lifestyle. My preaching will get better when your hearing gets better. Don't put it on me. I'm coming in ready. I'm coming in prepared. I got the mind of Christ. Lord, you're going to do great things. More miracles are going to break out in our midst. God has promised me, if I make room for miracles, he's going to bring it. Then bring it, God. And here's my confession, that there's not one sick among us. I have faith to believe that God can heal every one of us. Does anybody have a problem with that? No, I don't know. We're not going to limp out in the last days. I read in the back of the book, we win. I read it. And he says, in the last days, I'll do give power and authority to my church. All power and greater things shall you see because I go to my Father. Those days are now for anyone who will believe. As a church and your pastor, renew this in the Word. Don't go by what your feelings are, because you'll add to the Word of God then. Well, I believe that, but. I believe that, but. You're adding to the Word. Settle it. God will do it. Amen? Enjoy this morning. Well, we're going to get into this deeper as we go. I never want to take this for granted. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to get my life right with the Lord. I'm in an environment where I can get saved. I want to get saved. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord's drawing you back. Maybe there's been a time you've been out there, but the Lord's just drawing you back home. Come on home. Come on home. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I need to spend more time in that word. I need to renew this. The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know? Maybe you're here and the Lord's raising you up to make disciples of all nations. The Lord knows we need preachers and teachers, people to love on, children and youth and adults. Whatever level the Lord has you, He's able to meet that need. I want to ask you here this morning, who this morning? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make sure things are right with the Lord. Just lift your hand. I'll pray for you. I see it. 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 Yep, I see it. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, I just want to make sure it's right. I see it in the back. Here and there, I see it. You want to make sure that today's the day. I see it. I see it. Maybe you're coming back. Say, Lord, I love you, but I'm going to spend that time with you. I'm really serious, Lord. God will meet that heart. Anybody else? Secondly, here is how many are in that battle in your thought life? And you want to have victory in that. Cross the board. You want to recognize the trip and the trip up of the enemy, that vain imaginations. You want to see all that move away. How many of you? Put them down. Okay. Can the Lord do it? And how many want to finish strong in these last days? I do too. I want you to gently grab the hand of somebody next to you, whether you know them or not. Just grab their hand. I want to pray this out loud. And somebody asked me, Pastor, why do we pray out loud? Here's why. Because your confession is important. And when you believe, you speak forth that reality. It doesn't matter just mouthing the words with me, because you can do that and mumble. But you pray in sincerity. And as a congregation, we pray in sincerity. God will meet that need. Pray this with me, church. Lord Jesus, everyone in here, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry of all my sins, of all my failures. Forgive me. Come into my life. Holy Spirit, change me. Make me born again. Father, you said in your word, if I call on your Son, Lord Jesus, He would answer. And He would save me, like right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of everything, of every word and every action I've done. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that He arose from the dead. So today, this morning, I'm saved and I'm forgiven. And I thank you for it. And I boldly confess, I'm not ashamed to say Jesus is my Lord. Now, Father, help my friends to overcome every thought, every evil thing in the name of Jesus. And I've decided by my will, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen.